بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 10th of March in the year 2024 Alhamdulillah it's the 29th blessed day of the month of Sha'aban So possibly tonight the holy month of Ramadan will enter. So we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses us in what remains of the month of Sha'aban and convey us safely to the holy month of Ramadan. Amen. And we moved on to the ninth session that we're going through the commentary of the blessed Surah Al-Nur. And in the last two, I've mentioned the lengthy report of Ifk in which our beloved mother Sayyidah Aisha was slandered radiallahu anha, which caused the revelation of over 10 verses. So, to mention related matters, the three noble companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who were purified on the earth for their propagation of the slander. So the one who initiated the slander was of course the chief hypocrite, Abdullah ibn Ubay. But unfortunately, some of the righteous were affected by that and they started also propagating this. So, as a result, the three companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were lashed as prescribed by the Quran. So, going back to verse 4, Surah 24, verse 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَعْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً And those who launch a charge against pure women and produce not four witnesses, i.e. to support their allegations, then flog them with 80 stripes. So like I mentioned in the sessions prior, if you haven't got enough proof and you are accusing an innocent woman, you yourself will be flogged 80 times. So our beloved mother Aisha herself, she clarified radiallahu anha, when my innocence was revealed, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the pulpit and mentioned it and recited the Quran. Then as he descended, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered that the had, i.e. prescribed punishment, should be given to two men and a woman. They were then lashed. This is in Abu Dawud, number 4474, Tirmidhi, number 3192, Hasan Gharib ibn Majah, number 2567. So here in the Sunans, it mentions there was two men and a woman who were given the prescribed hudud. In another report, in Tabarani, Ruh al-Ma'ani, Anwar al-Bayan, volume 6, page 377 of the English translation, it adds, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu to gather all the Muslims in the masjid. When they presented themselves, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verses declaring Aisha innocent radiyallahu. He thereupon called for Abdullah ibn Ubay, i.e. the chief hypocrite, and had him lashed for slander twice, i.e. 160 times. Thereafter Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Misla, and Sayyidina Hamna radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, the sister of Zainab, were also lashed 80 times each. So now the names are mentioned. So Abdullah ibn Ubay, he was given double because he initiated the slander. Three of the companions were given 80 lashes. Hassan ibn Thabit, Misda, and the sister of Hamna radiallahu ta'ala. So first of all, what was the reason that Abdullah ibn Ubay was given double punishment? The reason was because Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in the Quran, in Surah 24, verse 11, والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم. And to him who took on himself the lead amongst them will be a penalty grievous or immense. Thus the double punishment was part of Azabun Azim, the immense punishment which awaited this unrepentant wretch. In continuation, so three of them were purified. So again, this proves, like I mentioned again and again, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they are mahfuz. They are ones who Allah ta'ala has guarded. Meaning, before they die, before they leave the world, they will be purified. So again, the companions here who fell into this error, Allah ta'ala purified them. Subhanallah. Such was our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha's purity, radiyallahu. She could not thereafter tolerate anyone speaking ill of these three respected companions. So you would have expected Aisha to have something against these three, because they were the ones who helped, you know, propagate the slander. But she didn't tolerate even any disrespect. In Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 863, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 8-508, Hisham ibn Urwa, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, my father, the nephew of Aisha, Urwa ibn Zubair, rahmatullah alayhi, he visited his aunt, Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, and criticized Hassan radiyallahu anha. Sayyida Aisha thereupon said, La tasubbu fa innahu kana yunafihu an Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not criticize Hassan radiyallahu anha, for he defended Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. through his poetry. So looking at this very briefly, the nephew of Aisha obviously was also very hurt. So he said some, you know, harsh words against Hassan to Aisha. You know, so for instance, he might have said something like, why did he slander you? You know, he was supposed to be a noble companion, this, that, and the other. Hazrat Aisha's response was, don't criticize him, because he defended Rasulullah, meaning with his poetry. So not she's defending him. Indeed, when Hassan ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu was charged later in his life due to another error and started now to condemn himself, Sayyida Aisha consoled the aged companion and she said, you are not as bad a person as you are saying. This is in Sahih Bukhari, number 3915. So again, he made another error, doesn't matter what it was, but he, being a companion, he felt it very heavy upon himself. But Aisha again said, you're not as bad as what you say. In other words, why are you condemning yourself to such a degree? Though she comforted him, even though Hassan had hurt her years ago with similar statements. It thus comes as no surprise that Hassan radiallahu anhu thereupon praised her. In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, he said in apology to Aisha radiallahu anha in praise of her, and this is poetry, but this is the translation. A chaste, wise lady about whom nobody can have suspicion. She gets up with an empty stomach because she never eats the flesh of indiscreet. She is an intelligent woman from the family of Lu'ay ibn Ghalib, who are known for their generosity and striving. Their praises will continue to be sung without end. She is well-mannered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made her of fine antecedents, and He has purified her from every evil and untruth. If I truly said what had been attributed to me, then may my fingers not lift up my whip to me, I become paralyzed. And how could this be, when I have devoted my life to loving and supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the adornment of any garden? So even in the translation, you can see he was greatly grieved. And he was saying in great grief and veneration that she was truly unblemished. The fault was mine. And you can see in between the lines he was seeking forgiveness. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with all the magnificent and majestic companions of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. So again, we shouldn't have anything against these companions. the sister of Zainab, Hamna, why was she propagating the slander? So obviously you can, she was probably thinking that this is an opportunity in which I can elevate my sister, Zainab, make her the special one of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously sisterly love got in the way and she propagated it, but she was purified. Misda was the cousin of Abu Bakr. Of course, he was also purified. But what's interesting, the chief munafiq was given double the punishment. And that's just part of the punishment, i.e. which awaits, you know, that sad soul. So according to the hadith which I've mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, 10 verses were revealed. However, there were 15 sacred verses of Surah Nur that were revealed due to the slander. So why do I mention that? The hadith in Bukhari mentions there was 10, because there's other reports. For instance, in Tabarani, Al-Hakam ibn Utbah, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, when the people began defaming the chastity of Rasulullah's wife, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, namely Aisha, radiyallahu anha, he sent for her and said, O Aisha, radiyallahu anha, what do you say about what the people are saying? She responded, there is nothing I can say until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares my innocence from the heaven. Upon this, Allah the Almighty revealed 15 verses of Surah An-Nur, i.e. verses 11 to 26. So here it adds, it wasn't 10, it was actually 15 verses, verses 11 to 26. A further proof, the hadith is in Tabarani, is Hassan, Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam, he recited this verse, Surah 24, verse 26. الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك مبرعون مما يقولون لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. Evil women are for evil men, and evil men are for evil women. Pure women are for pure men, and pure men are for pure women. These people are innocent of what they, i.e. say. For them is forgiveness and a gracious reward or sustenance. He explained, rahmatullah alayh, this was said down about Aisha, radiyallahu anha, when she was accused in her chastity by the hypocrites. The accusation it is of which Allah Ta'ala declared her innocence. So how does this prove 15 verses were revealed? Because this was the 15th verse, Surah 24, verse 26. So one of the Salaf said, this was revealed because of Aisha. So now what's interesting, we're going to come to that verse in particular. But if you are finding fault with Aisha, this verse is saying you're finding fault with Rasulullah. Why? Because it says, pure men are for pure women. Evil women are for evil men. So note the gravity of what they were saying. Astaghfirullah. You're finding fault with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're calling him. You might as well accuse the Prophet of it. Astaghfirullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us mention a brief commentary on these 15 verses which we reveal due to our dear and beloved mother, i.e. to appreciate her status in the glorious deen. So again, this is the background for these verses which need to be in place. So let's go to the first verse, i.e. verse 11. So the translation. Those who brought forth the slander are a body amongst yourselves. Do not think it to be an evil. On the contrary, it is good for you. To every person amongst them will come the punishment of the sin that he earned. And to him who took on himself the lead amongst them will be a penalty grievous. So here in this verse, the first of the 15 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is not a good, bad thing. This is a good thing. Why? Because many, many things are going to be learned. Our beloved mother Aisha herself explained this verse. She said, this refers to Abdullah ibn Ubay. This is in Sahih Bukhari, number 4141, Sahih Muslim, number 2770. So which part of the verse was she referring to? وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى قِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَذِيمٌ. To him who took on the lead will be a great penalty. Aisha goes, is Abdullah ibn Ubay. So we know it's him. Because Aisha said it, radiallahu. But there's a further shade of meaning. In Sahih Muslim, number 6391 and 92, in the chapter on the virtue of the companions, Masruq rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I once entered upon Aisha radiallahu and Hassan ibn Thabit was with her, one of them who had inadvertently got involved. And he was reciting poetry to her. He said, Hassanan razanan ma tuzannu biribatin wa tusbihu gharta min luhumil ghawafin. She is chaste, she is prudent, she is beyond suspicion. She rises hungry in the morning, but does not consume the flesh of the chaste and innocent. So Hassan is reciting poetry to Aisha. Aisha responded to him, لَكِنَّكَ لَسْتَ كَذَلِكَ. But you are not like that. In other words, you got involved in my slander. So you've actually condemned yourself. Masruq continued, I thereupon said to her, why then do you give him permission to enter upon you? When Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, and he recited this verse, verse 11, to him who took himself the lead will be a grievous penalty. She responded, فَأَيُّ عَذَابٍ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْعَمَىٰ. What punishment is greater than becoming blind? She thereupon added, he used to defend or compose satirical verse on behalf of Rasulullah. So in this report, Masruq was saying that that verse is also in reference to Hassan. Aisha didn't negate it. But she said, he's become blind. He's an old man now. In other words, this is part of Allah's purifying him. And then she defended him because he used to defend Rasulullah, i.e. with his verses. Subhanallah, our beloved messenger had said of Hassan ibn Thabit, ridiculed them in verse, i.e. the unbelieving Quraysh. Or he said, Hajihim wa Jibreelu ma'ak. Ridicule them in verse and Jibreel is with you. Alayhi salatu wasalam. This is in Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 7, page 296 of the English translation. Look at the status. Hassan ibn Thabit, when he was defending Rasulullah, Jibreel was with him. The Prophet said, Jibreel's with you when you do that. Was he with him when he was finding fault with Aisha? No. Look how beautiful that is. The Prophet didn't say, he's always with you. He said, he's with you when you ridicule them, the unbelieving Quraysh. The other poets, Qab ibn Malik radiallahu anh, he used to threaten the unbelievers with war, saying, we did such and such before and we will do such and such again. Abdullah ibn Rawaha, he would criticize their unbelief in his poetry radiallahu anh. And Hassan ibn Thabit found fault with their lineage and their failings. Look how beautiful. There was a four-pronged attack by the poets of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hassan, he would ridicule the unbelieving Quraysh. That was his forte. Qa'ab, he would threaten them with war. Because how many of you learn your lesson from Badr? And you know, etc, etc. Abdullah ibn Rawaha would criticize in his poetry their kufr. And Hassan ibn Thabit, their lineage and faults. The next verse, verse 12, the translation. Why did not the believers, men and women, when you heard of the affair, put the best construction on it in their own minds and said, this is a slander most clear. So Allah Ta'ala is now addressing the believers. He's saying, when you heard of this, why didn't you think good? And why didn't you just say this is a clear slander? So what's relevant to this verse? In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his seerah, the wife of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the host of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, O Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu, have you not heard what the people are saying about Aisha? People are speaking about her. Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu responded, yes, and by Allah they are lying. He thereupon asked his wife, would you have done this? Would you have committed adultery? She goes, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never, I would never have done it. Abu Ayyub said, Aisha is better than you. Because how could she be involved? Upon this, Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. لَوْلَا إِذَ سَمِئْتُمُوهُمْ ذَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. Why did not the believers, men and women, when you heard of the affair, put the best construction on it in their minds and say, this is a slander most clear. Look at the status of Abu Ayyub. Abu Ayyub was the host. He had 6-7 months the Prophet stayed in his dwelling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look how beautiful. He goes to his wife. He goes, would you do it? And she obviously maybe even got offended. He goes, astaghfirullah. He goes, no chance. Then he goes, how can Aisha do it? She's better than you. Look how beautiful and simple the answer. If somebody goes, no, I'm better than Aisha, then go and join another religion. Right? So when he said that, Allah Ta'ala loved that so much, that verse was revealed. Meaning, this is how you're supposed to have reacted. In a slightly different report, his wife asked, this is recorded by Imam Razi in his Tafsir Kabir on the verse, if you was in the place of Safwan or my husband, radiyallahu, then could you think of committing any mischief with the honorable family of Rasulullah? So she said it to her husband. Because would you have done anything? He goes, never. His wife said, if I was in the place of Aisha, radiyallahu, I would never think of being unfaithful. Thus, how can such a misdemeanor be imagined when Aisha is more excellent than me and Safwan is more excellent than you? So they both were working it out. Because I couldn't never think that you would have committed that mischief, nor would you ever think I would have committed that mischief. They're both better than us. So how could they have committed it? You know, subhanAllah, you're thinking good. Similarly, the slander circulated for a month. So Umar was very angry over this. Umar radiyallahu. So how did he react? Recorded by Hafiz al-Nasafi in his Madarik al-Tanzil wa Haqa'iq al-Ta'wil in the commentary of verse 12. So Umar, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am sure of the lies of the hypocrites because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has safeguarded you to such an extent that even a fly does not sit on your body. For the fly may have sat on filth previously and may be covered in filth. Thus, subhanAllah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected you from the contact with such a minute creature of filth, then how could He want to make any immoral woman your wife? Allahu Akbar. So what did Umar radiallahu anhu say? Because flies don't sit on you, Ya Rasulullah. And in that environment, that's a sign of prophethood. Flies don't sit here, no big deal. But you go back to the hotter climates and you see a person, why are flies sitting on you? That's not normal. He goes, and I know why the flies don't sit on you. Because they sit on filth. He goes, if Allah Ta'ala is protecting you from that minute filth, do you think Allah Ta'ala is going to allow this to happen? Uthman also added, he was there. He said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected your shade from appearing on the ground so that no human foot would tread on it. Thus, if it is not possible for anyone to step on your shadow, how would it then be possible for any individual to dishonor your wife? Subhanallah. So Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman, he's also hurt. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, your shadow doesn't touch the ground. Another miracle. Imagine, you know, somebody goes, well, how do you know he's a prophet? Flies don't see anything. There's no shadow on the ground. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to work it out, but they still disbelieved in him. And he goes, I know why that is. Because people could walk over your shadow. Allah Ta'ala didn't want that. So how can your wife not be anything but pure? Ali added, radiyallahu, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel, alayhi salatu wa salam, and he once informed you that an impurity had come in contact with your sandals. Therefore, he instructed you to remove those from your feet. Thus, if your wife was an adulteress, God forbid, then Allah the Almighty would have definitely ordered you to separate yourself from her. Look how beautiful. So Ali went through another angle. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, he goes, there was some filth in your sandals once, and Jibreel alerted you to it. You took it off. Because if he's not allowing that much on your, how would he allow a wife to enter your family who is also impure? Now this is important. Why? Because in the hadith in Bukhari, he said, you can marry again, Ya Rasulullah. Because he saw the Prophet being hurt. He wasn't saying anything, you know, untoward with regards to Aisha radiallahu, and he defended her radiallahu. So that statement of Ali is confirmed in a hadith in Abu Dawood number 650, Sahih Ahmad 3-20, Hakim in his Mustadrak 1-260, stated Sahih to the criteria of Muslim, Zahabi Sahih, Bayhaqi 2-431, Ibn Khuzayba number 1017, Sahih, Ibn Hibban number 360, Sahih. And it's the report which mentions that the Prophet was praying and he took his sandals off during Salat, and the companions followed suit. And then the Prophet asked, why did you take your sandals off after the prayer? Because we saw you take your sandals off, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Jibreel came to me, informed me that there was some qadara, uncleanliness, or adha, impurity on them. He added, when one of you comes to the masjid, let him look at his sandals. If he sees any uncleanliness or impurity, let him wipe it off and pray in them. So this is the report of summarized it, but it confirms what Ali was saying, radiyallahu. So we've gone through just two of the verses of the 15th ayah with regards to commentary of the incident of slander with regards to Sayyidah Aisha. And we will continue from there next week. So I'll recite verse 11 and 12 and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبون شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم لولا إذا سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts, and I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhanallah bihamdihi izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr sallallahu alaihi wasallam.